I do have a huge faith in God, and I don't know how anyone that could be looking at anything that's gone on in the past couple of months, or anyone in my shoes, could deny that there is a God, because in so many times I should not be on this planet based off of certain circumstances. And
welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
Well, welcome to There Is Hope Radio. This is your radio host, Richard Dover, and we're continuing our interview with my son, Joshua. And this podcast, I'm going to title it America Worker Waymaker. Something that triggered this is I was posting on Facebook, and then once a year, my wife Carmi and I give kind of an annual overview of our life and what's gone on in our life in the last year. Little did I know last year when I did it that when I did my yearly update this year that I'd be writing about my son being in a tragic motorcycle accident. I did not think I'd be talking to my son Christmas. And we'll talk a little bit maybe about that too. But Joshua, thank you for being so vulnerable as you've been doing these podcasts.
Yeah, no worries.
And now we'll find out how vulnerable you are and how far. Now, you know, so I'm going to be vulnerable in this podcast. And so I'm going to share a little bit first, and then you can jump in. Joshua and I, you know what, Josh, I thought it was around 3 years, but it looks like it was 5 years that we did not talk. Did you know it was 5 years?
No, I thought I was about two, but it's been a while.
Based upon what I can see on Facebook of when you were posting some stuff on Facebook, that time you were posting, it was about the time that we saw each other there in Oregon. And so that was about 5 years ago, 2015. So I don't know, maybe it turned out to be around 2016. So it was, I don't think it matters if it was 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years. Quite a long time. And we're not going down that secret road of what all that was about. But for 3-5 years, whatever it was, we had not had any communication. You have a motorcycle crash. And now you and I are talking on the phone. We have yet to get to see each other since I'm in Arkansas. You're in Oregon. And because of the whole COVID thing and all kinds of other stuff, makes it just about impossible for that to happen. But I personally believe that the reason we're talking is because my God is a miracle worker and a way maker. I believe he had found a way to get it that we could communicate and have a relationship again, and I think it's a miracle that that happened. The problem is the way it happened was a motorcycle crash, but it actually wasn't. And this is, I want you to jump in. We're going to talk about kind of things about kind of, you know, where you're at spiritually. But for myself and my wife, Carmi, and I, we thought the fact the motorcycle crash is what brought you to bring communication to you to want to, you know, have a relationship with your dad again. But you had shared that I didn't know this, but you had shared you actually were planning on seeing me before the accident. So
yeah, yep.
You talked a little bit about that. But why don't you talk about that, because it's interesting that it wasn't the motorcycle crash, and the motorcycle crash actually got in the way of us being able to see each other. Because mm-hmm. if the motorcycle hasn't happened, I would have seen you by now.
That's true.
So why don't you talk about kind of what was on your heart?
Yeah. Essentially it was because of something that you did. You had sent me a letter, probably about a year ago or so, and read the letter and still had some feelings and didn't respond to the letter. And I had gotten to the point in my life where I had accepted that in my head that I didn't have a dad and I didn't need one. And then I believe, if I'm correct, had a message to some of your Facebook friends, and which are a couple of them are some old members in a old church that you and I used to go to. And I believe you had sent me a similar message or something, or sent me a Facebook message. And I read it, and I kind of brushed it off and was like, I'm not talking with my dad, and I've already gotten to the point where I'm okay with not having one and all this. And then
So before you started, go further, was that the last one where I told you I was going to?
The most recent message.
The most recent. I was telling you I was moving to Arkansas.
I think that, and then also, I can't remember if you said this or it was in my head, that there were some health concerns or something, but I know that in my head I thought, you know, if you die, and I haven't, basically, we haven't fixed what our relationship or whatever it is, that essentially I was going to be prolonging and adding to the so-called family tradition of you and your father, and then me and my father, and so on and so forth, and in my opinion, a curse. And so I thought, you know, I don't want to do that, and so I need to just suck it up and, you know, just kind of make the past be the past. And I was going to, after riding my motorcycle back to Tucson, Arizona, I was going to pack up and do a trip over to Arkansas and kind of just drive onto your property and say, hey, what's up? The reason being is when I read that letter and having those feelings, I went onto your Facebook and I started listening to the replies people are replying to you about, because you were sad, obviously, that we haven't had a relationship for years. And then I started to feel even worse about it and thinking to myself that, you know what, let the past be the past kind of thing. So that's when I made the decision that after I got my motorcycle, I was going to be heading to Arkansas. And obviously, that timeline got very changed, more than I could ever imagine.
Now, and also your stepmom from Alaska had moved to Arkansas, unbeknownst to me, until I didn't know that.
And I hadn't seen her for years, and I thought I would hit you up first and then spend some you know, a week or two, and then head over and say hi to her, because I haven't seen her in several years either. So
and
I was going to do a double stop.
And you and her had a much better relationship than you had with me prior to our falling out. And so when I found out from her that you hadn't talked to her for at least a couple of years, I was shocked by that. That actually blew me away. I'm asking you to be vulnerable. I'm going to be vulnerable. And in a weird way, I was happy that you had not had a relationship with her either. And I had said, well, good. He didn't have one with her either, so I'm not the only bad guy. And she must be a bad guy too, or he's the bad guy, and we're both good guys, but whatever. At least I'm not the only bad one in this bunch, and all the other kind of stuff that's going on in my head when I heard that. And then it made me tremendously sad to realize that you had lost that relationship with her too. And something I should say, you said that you pretty much came up with in your mind that you you did not have a father. And I will say that there came a place in my mind after, you know, a couple of years, I don't have a son. And part of the way I coped with that is I just said, you know what, he doesn't want me as a father, and I'm not going to be a father, and he don't want me as a father, and he can go fly a kite. And I wish I could say I was so spiritual and so godly that it didn't affect me, but it affected me. And one of my ways of coping is, I think you and I both probably cope this way, is I just make a decision, you know what, I'm just going to close my heart down, shut my heart down, and I'm just going to move on. And I'm not going to let things affect me. And
unfortunately, we're very good at that.
Yeah. And yet at the same time, you know, I was continuously praying for you. And this is what my prayer was. My prayer was, you know, Lord, I would like for Josh and I to be restored and that we could have a father-son relationship again. But the most important thing is that he's in right relationship with you. And if he's in right relationship with you, then I trust at some point me and him will have a healthy relationship. But even not, what matters is his eternal destiny, not what goes on between me and him. So that's the part I want to talk about. What happened with the accident? I don't know, I guess I would say, is that when you, I mean, where did the spiritual journey to start to get back with God, or however you want to describe that, because we haven't talked about all that, but what was going on with you on the spiritual side, either before the accident, after the accident, whatever, that brought you to where you're at now?
Well, I was...
And do you know? Have you thought about
I know I know what brought me back. I don't know what as far as I you know, part of my memory issues, I do not have a clue when you and I talked for the first time again. I don't remember the conversation. I don't remember any of that. I just, in my head, there's just fog, and then I just have been talking to you. I don't know how any of that started.
Well, the bad part is I don't know if I know either, and I didn't have the motorcycle crash. There's always a fog in my head when it comes to memories. Well, so we're in the same boat probably, but go ahead. You don't remember when it was, but.
But, yeah, as far as prior to that, I've kind of been trudging along in life and just doing whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, how I wanted, that kind of thing. And I ended up feeling like I was just going nowhere in life and no real goals, no real hope for anything other than just monotonous life. And I got spoken to by a gentleman that was a tool guy for Matco Tools while I was working. He's the guy I bought tools from, and he introduced me to a program called Worldwide Dream Builders, and it's essentially a mentoring a group that mentors and teaches you how to better yourself in your life, as well as how to make money through the corporation Amway. And I got involved with that and started reading really good books by John Maxwell, who is an amazing man, and learning to actually be a servant more than just go and doing everything for yourself. And I learned a lot through that group, Worldwide Dream Builders, and I actually started to go back to church because of that, because I just wanted to be a better me, and it had a serious impact on my life, and I was doing great and starting to get a lot closer with God and have a better relationship with Him. And then, unfortunately, I had a very serious case of pneumonia and an undiagnosed diabetic, and it wound me in the hospital in the ER, and I nearly died from it, and that was last December. And I was completely drained, worn out, and when I was able, thankfully, to come out of all of that, because COVID had come about, I kind of fell away from the organization that I was a part of, the Worldwide Dream Builders, and I wanted to just start over and start my life fresh and just get a clean slate, and so I moved to Arizona. I ended up getting accepted to the University of Arizona. I made a plan for a degree in the job I was going to go after, and just started hitting everything head on. And I was proud of myself that I finally actually was bettering my life. That's when I came back with my sister to visit family, and that's when I decided that I had a very, very deep, affectionate love for the bumpers of cars, and met one.
Right.
But
right.
That's when the whole accident happened, and that kind of changed everything. But now I do have a huge faith in God, and I don't know how anyone that could be looking at anything that's gone on in the past couple months, or anyone in my shoes, could deny that there is a God, because in so many times I should be dead. I mean, there's no doubt. I should not be on this planet based off of certain circumstances and the fact.
And that's
that I
even
am
before
tells me there is a God.
Now you can look at not just in the accident. We all know that.
If you move past the accident, there's, I mean, having a lung collapse, having paralysis. There, I mean, there's so many things that I've come out of that I shouldn't have. And not just the accident, but aftermath of that.
And before
and
the accident.
It's just been so obvious. Yeah.
Which you didn't look at before.
Exactly, yep.
And so I don't know if you remember this, but we had a conversation, I think, is when you moved from Seattle to Oregon. I think it might have been when you were working in I want to say lumber mill work or something or another.
Oh, yep, company called Timber Products. I was working in a mill
Yeah, and
right
I think it
before I
was
joined
during
the
that time
military.
frame. I'm trying to yeah, just before the military. I'm trying to see if I can trigger your memory, which there is none, but we'll see if we can trigger something in those recesses. But you had said you came to the conclusion that if there was a God, he was not a personal God. Do you remember that journey?
I don't.
Okay, so
But good luck finding the creaks and crannies of my brain.
but you had said that there pretty much it was a conversation we had. It was one of the few we had, and it was just prior to you going in the military. And you had said you've come to the conclusion that, yeah, maybe there is a God, but he's not a personal God. He don't care about our personal life and involves in our personal life. It's kind of like a creator out there somewhere in La La Land that maybe did something and then he disappeared and went to sleep or something. It's kind of the mindset that you had. And I have chuckled to myself many times since your accident because I thought, whether you remember or not, what I think of is if there is anything that a God has a sense of humor, is to take somebody who believes that God isn't a very personal God and does so many personal things in your life that you cannot deny. Am I
That's true.
accurate?
Oh, beyond. I mean, there's been moments where I've cried out, and immediately miracles have happened. And so, I'd have to be ludicrous to not believe.
So
I'd literally have to be bonkers.
you don't think it's just coincidence that some surgeries were canceled because there's more important surgeries to take place, that you had some of the best of surgeons. Even now, when everything seemed like things are going crazy with your rehabilitation and it seemed not a single doctor was on page honestly, it started to look like it was just chaos. And then all of a sudden, just a few days ago, everything comes into place. Just it's like lined up, like somebody had a game plan and they just didn't let us know about it. And then all of a sudden we find out there's an entire game plan. Would you say that God's a way maker, that he makes a way when there is no way?
There's one easy thing, and this is gonna, you might have to explain something for the other listeners, but any veteran that's listening will know that the struggles I've had with the VA in the immediate 180 turnaround that happened just a few days ago, in itself, to any veteran that's struggled to get anything with the VA, and if they were able to suddenly have doors just fling open for them, they would be in my shoes and know that that's not something that happens in the VA.
Well, in fact, your stepmom, her husband is a vet. He's had all kinds of health issues. He's battled between disability, VA, this, that, and everything else, and merry-go-round. And whenever I would talk to her since that accident, I'd bring up some things. She says, good luck, yeah. And she kind of makes fun of me in a way because I talk as if something's going to happen. And then I start going through some. I said, "Oh, you know what? I want to prove her wrong, but she's right. This is going to be a hellish nightmare. Nothing's going to work out." And yet, literally, I mean, people who've been praying for you, who read my posts, and I put in the private prayer repost that only certain people can see, and they track it, and they know that I'll share stuff, and then they will pray. And literally, again, turn around with some things within minutes, some things within hours. But with the VA is one of the perfect examples where it just looked like we're just got to throw our hands up. People are talking to me before you give a release. They're giving me advice and counsel and direction as they read your records. Now we could think good or bad because they shouldn't be doing it with anybody, but I am your father. But literally, we've literally seen like everything line up unbelievably, and that doesn't just happen by coincidence.
to get even a toothpick from the VA, you would have to cut down the Amazon forest, and there still wouldn't be enough wood. I mean, it's ridiculous how hard it is to get anything for yourself to help you. And literally, within a day or two of, it was, I think, 2 days from today, or it was maybe within like 4 days, something like that. It was like the gates of heaven opened up and there was just a flood of blessings. I mean, it was like this door that was slammed shut, dead bolted, nailed shut, and then they put, you know, a barrier, suddenly just swung open. And then over on the other side, another door swings open, and another door, and it's just like, almost like the Twilight Zone, because those doors never open. They, once they're shut, you can't get them open. And all of a sudden, just doors started swinging open wide. And it's almost, to this day, you know, it's only been a few days, but I almost feel like I'm in a, you know, in a daze, because I've dealt with the VA for years and years and years and had nothing but issues and problems trying to get stuff resolved and trying to get medical stuff taken care of for me. And all of a sudden, within a matter of a few days of what was going to be a very, very bad moment for me, if somebody did not open a door, the door just swung wide open. And
if you remember, and I told you, you have to trust that that door is going to open, and you were very, very, very afraid it was not going to open.
I would say petrified. And just so it makes kind of sense to listeners, essentially I'm in extreme amounts of pain, and there is only one pain medicine that it took 30 doctors 3 weeks to find out works on my body. And it's, for whatever reason, my body doesn't respond to pain medication hardly at all, if at all, because they've only found one drug that works. And I basically was being denied by the VA to be able to have that medication, and I had no other way to get it. And that medication keeps me from going to level 10 pain. And if anyone's ever been there close, it's you can't live like that. And I was afraid that I was going to be living with level 10 pain. And I can't last very long. I lasted 3 weeks, 5 hours at a time, 2 to 3 times a day, and I knew I couldn't do it again. I just my body couldn't handle it.
Started going into paralysis and everything else because of the pain. So
we don't even know
all of the story. We know some of the story of that, but we know this, regardless of what the real cause of the paralysis, that part of the root is the level of pain that's going on within your body.
Yep, and it's hard to even think about now. It's almost emotional because in my heart, I knew if I could not get that medicine, I would die, that my body would not be able to take it too much longer at level 10 pain. It's inhumane. And I was so sure my body was just going to literally just start falling apart, and I was going to die from it. And within 2 days of that, and I think it was within 2 days of me running out of that medicine that I wasn't going to get any refills of it, suddenly doctors were, you know, running around like chickens, you know, with their head cut off, where I had three or four people just running around like crazy trying to help me and having the medication sent to me before I ran out. And that was a miracle because it went against a lot of how the VA does stuff. And suddenly I was being treated as though I was actually a critical patient and needed immediate attention. And I really did.
and it was that area of the pain management. And then it's just all the other resources getting lined up at the, you know, some of the best doctors in Southern Oregon, getting things changed, getting people to communicate with protocol. When you go in the emergency room, there's a protocol that they know that they need to follow now. I mean, all this started just coming together when I'm ready to hop on a plane and rip somebody's head apart. And and then God comes through, you know, again, the way maker, the miracle worker. Well, we are going to run out of time on this show. We could do about 20 other of these. But as we close, Joshua, what would you want to share? It's the day before Christmas. It's been 4 or 5 months since your accident. Last December, you said you were, in fact, your mom thinks maybe you, some people think in December there was COVID floating around and thinks that maybe you had COVID with what was going on. But a year later, here you are, you know, in some ways you're in worse shape than you was a year ago and you thought last year was bad. But what would you share as we're coming into a new year and everything else? What would be the last words you want to share to people that are listening?
Just don't give up hope. excuse me. Don't give up hope. I know that hope will keep you going. And not just don't give up hope, but ask for help. If you need help, don't be ashamed to ask for it. And you'll find out that no matter how hard something is, it's easier to ask for help and get help. And I'll leave you with this one visualization that was given to me by one of my therapists, was if you had to move a giant log and you reached down and you just struggled really hard and you lifted one end and you started dragging it, how much easier would it be to ask somebody to help you and to have them take the other end of the log? Now the log's still heavy, it still hurts, everything else, but then you ask somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, and now seven people are carrying that log. It's no longer a heavy burden. It no longer weighs you down because there's so many people there to help you. And so don't just struggle and do everything alone, because it is difficult and it is hard. And when you start to be willing to ask for help and let people help you, suddenly a lot of your burdens are not anywhere near as drastic and as bad as you really thought they were once you get help. So just reach out and keep that hope alive.
Amen. And our show is called There's Hope Radio. And now the pastor guy has to jump in and throw his two cents in, and that ultimately the help is that people can only do so much, and so ultimately is to cry out to God. And when you're in that most helpless situation where you feel like you hit rock bottom, where you feel like there's no help out there, if you call out to God, he will bring the people. I absolutely believe he uses people. I mean, as much as God can do the miracles in Josh's life and he can line up things, the reality is ultimately it's people who has helped him, because Jesus is going to come down here and start a pain management program for him. and so he may send the Holy Spirit to jump in his body and then 50 angels to rescue him while he's in a motorcycle crash, but at the end of the day, there's still a natural world that we live in. We're not in heaven yet. And so God uses people and circumstances and situations. But I would encourage you just to cry out to God and ask him for help. And whether you believe in a God or not, whether you feel like Josh has felt many times that God's abandoned him, that God's punishing him as he's gone through stuff, at the end of the day, he realized that God wasn't punishing him. God actually was intervening on his behalf. And, I mean, he has a glorious story of what God has been doing in his life, and even in mind of his relationship. There's nothing that Josh and our personality, nothing we could do to fix our relationship, to make amends in our relationship. It was something
we are both way too bullheaded.
yeah, but it was God intervening and somehow putting it together. And there's a lot of things, Josh and I haven't talked, and I think Josh knows there must be a God because his dad hasn't pushed him for tons of questions and dig deep as he wants, and I wonder how many times Josh wonders, do I wonder if my dad's going to dig deeper, and I'm trying to disappoint him by being shallow on some things and giving him a lot of space, and that's your job for me to be able to do that. So I just want to encourage you, there is hope, and I believe that hope is through Jesus Christ. If he's your Lord and Savior, if you allow him to take control of your life, he'll intervene, and he'll do some amazing things in your life, and I've got to see it happen in so many people's lives, and see lives transformed. And I'll just end with this. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe it's not the physical pain. Maybe it's not the stuff that Josh has dealt with. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction or some habits that are just taking control, overwhelming you. I want to tell you there's hope in that. All this morning I had somebody who was a drug addict for years and years and years, a massive drug addict, and they get a hold of me saying, "Hey, Pastor Rich, do you know any Christmas stories that are good ones, not the corny ones, not the ones that aren't real, a real Christmas story so me and the kids can watch it and they can see the Christmas story, because I'm so thankful what God has done in my life, and I've seen him intervene over and over again." That's the things I'm talking about. A person, nobody had hope. 4 or 5 years ago, he got married to his sweetheart that was his drug buddy, but they both are clean, got their lives in order. They're living as a family. That's because of God. So God can do some amazing things, whether it's in something that's physical going on, mentally going on, whether it's addiction going on, whatever you may be going through, that God can intervene. To get more information, you can go to There Is Hope Radio. That's There Is Hope Radio. And we have all kinds of resources there that can help you out. Maybe you need to move beyond the past. And Josh and I, that's what we have to do, is move beyond the past, whatever hurts and wounds. We have material about moving beyond the past. So go to thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org. Well, thank you, Josh, for your time.
Yep.
This is Pastor Rich. Do you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." John 1:7 says, "You must be born again." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And Matthew 1:15 says, "Repent you and believe the gospel." Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? If you want to get more information, you can always go to our website to learn how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org, and we have information on frequently asked questions about Christianity. We let you know step by step how to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to go to thereishopetv.org. That is thereishopetv.org. Also, I want to let you know, if you would like to talk to me personally, you can always give me a call, toll-free, anytime, 1-866-1-GOD.
You've been listening to There Is Hope. And any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.